Blog Talk Radio.
Network Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Diane Murray Ward. Thank you. Gems, give thanks for our blessings. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. Welcome. We are listening to Brian Snow. My guest this evening is my friend Marie Deluce. Welcome, Marie.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And I chose Marie because she is a fascinating person, a wonderful friend. And please tell us a little bit about the work that you do, Marie.
Well, currently, I mean, my daytime job is that I am actually a procurement officer. And I like to say that I'm a glorified buyer, you know, a public buyer for the city of New York, where I am. My job consists of buying and purchasing goods and services for the various units in the mayor's office. So that's what I do for my day job.
And then she transforms and becomes
a volunteer.
That's right.
I become a volunteer. That's what I do. I mean, that's my love. I mean, my friends and coworkers tease me all the time and say that my real job is not actually working for the office, is actually volunteering and helping the community. And I guess that is my true love, because I spend an awful amount of time doing that and doing just various projects, volunteer projects.
Well, you do these volunteer projects, and there's a lot of them. We'll get into that, but you know, I could hear your smile through the phone, because that's where you came alive. You know, because your interest and your love of people and everything, and that's what really sparks you. I think that's what motivates you even to get through your workday. The fact that you're able to do all these other things, and you do them very, very well.
Thank you.
What caused you to... You're very welcome. How did you develop that interest, or were you just always like that? You just a very giving person? Were you always like that, or was just something that, you know, what motivated you?
I mean, if we want to go backwards, I mean, as a kid, I was an introvert as a child. I mean, it was terrible. I was the... when I was younger, being Haitian in the public school was a curse, was a sin. So I used to always be picked on, and I was very unhappy, and I was an introvert. The only thing that made me receive any type of recognition was that I was extremely intelligent. And being, I guess, you know, bullied most of my life, I've always had, like, this dream of, like, saving the world. I don't know if anybody has ever been bullied and they wish they were someone else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I've always dreamed that, you know, I wish I was like Wonder Woman, or I wish I was the Bionic Woman. I wish I was it so I could just stop all these people from just picking on me and teasing me and such. So
right.
As I got older, I remember the actual first day. I mean, I've gotten slapped in school, spit in school, anything you can imagine I've gotten. And then I turned 16 years old, and I was walking down the street with my young sister. My sister and this young kid at the time, he was my age, actually threw a rock and hit my sister. And I lost it. I mean, I proceeded to try to, I mean, it was unheard of. I mean, everyone in the neighborhood, my mother included, was horrified when I just completely lost it and I fought back. That's the first time I actually fought back and defended somebody that I felt needed my protection, which was my little sister.
Right.
And I was 16 years old. And I think it was that act itself that pushed me to become sort of a different person. You know, just
mm-hmm.
a person that I'm not going to be a victim, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to stand up for my right. I'm going to help other people. I'm going to help the younger people. I'm going to help my sister. And then as I grew older, when I turned 17 and a half, I joined the Marine Corps. Now, I wanted to join the Marine Corps because, again, the superhero mentality, being Superwoman, the Marines,
mm-hmm.
tough, crazy,
right.
defend the country. So I joined the Marine Corps, and then, you know, and of course, I mean, now I'm a Marine. I'm a former Marine, a Marine Corps vet for Desert Storm. And ever since I went into training, they drill in your head that, you know, you are a Marine. You are amazing. You are here to defend the, you know, the United States of America. Be proud. Be yourself. And that evolved me into being like a strong person, not so much a strong woman, which a lot of people, but a strong person at the time, because a Marine had no sex. A Marine is a Marine, you know?
Right.
So
right.
Then I became a Marine. So once after I became a Marine, I mean, I guess my family, my friends, especially my ex-husband, because I was married
mm-hmm.
at the time, says that it completely
right.
changed my personality. And that's the foundation of who I am. So then I took that to just to be me, you know, just to continue helping little ways. I started helping people in little ways. Like, for example, I'm the woman that would stop a fight in the street, and I stop somebody from abusing someone. And it just started happening more and more. And approximately about 5 years ago, I received a call from a friend of my son who needed help. He got in trouble with the law, so he needed help. So I helped him. And then I got another call from someone else, and I helped that person. And then I started, I mean, and also in my job, at my job currently, I'm a procurement officer, so I'm into one of my responsibilities to analyze the problem, to negotiate, to get the agencies whatever they need to get as fast as possible while following the rules. So, you
right.
know, I have that skill also. So I guess the skill of having the skill here and, you know, being a Marine and being, you know, everybody wanted to say, like, I wanted to have the Save the World complex, and getting these various calls from different people in the community, and it started with one call and two call and three call. And I started realizing that I could actually help people. And it started very, very small, like, you know, getting calls. And then another big, and I'm sorry if I'm talking too much, but.
No, you're not. No,
another,
no, you're not. Go ahead.
Another, so you have the Marine Corps. You had being a kid at 16 and fighting for my rights. You have me fighting for other people. You have me join the Marine Corps. And now it comes to Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting at home watching the news, and I see this little African American kid. He was at the huge arena, saying, "This is ridiculous. We are here. We need help, right?"
Right.
And all of a sudden, it just, you know, came to my mind. I need to help these people. You know, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I needed help. I mean, I went to my agency, I went to everyone, and I went to the Office of Emergency Management. I want to go to Katrina and help. Well, you're not skilled. You can't just go. And that's how I joined the Marine Corps. I mean, not the Marine Corps. That's how I joined the American Red Cross.
That's right. That's right.
And I called the American Red Cross the same day. And after that, I've been with the American Red Cross for 6 years. So I received training for disaster related relief. You know, I have all
mm-hmm.
my training and then first aid. And now I have the Red Cross. And then I started getting more calls from different people, people who meet me at different events and people who know me in the street. I like to call I'm starting to call myself the street soldier now, because whenever someone needs something, they call me. So, I mean, that's how it evolved to where I am now. So it started at 16. went into being the Marine Corps. It started with my need to help Katrina, where I advanced and got all these skills, and now I'm here just doing different things. And then Haiti happened last year,
right.
And now I've been going back and forth to Haiti for approximately 7 times,
right,
to help with the Haiti relief. So yeah,
and also, mm-hmm, one of the reasons why, and I feel so blessed that I know you.
The skills
that you have also include, you're able to negotiate. You're a genuine person, and you're tenacious. When you take on something, Marie, you are tenacious. And anybody and everybody that knows, it's for a good cause. There's a positive reason. There's a reason behind it. You don't even have to explain it. If Marie asks for it, I'm telling you, audience, if Marie asks, then believe me, there's a wonderful reason behind it. And you see, and that's something that doesn't happen overnight, that people trust you and that people will go that extra mile for you. And that's a blessing. And it's because you're so sure of and honest about what you want to do. There isn't anything veiled in anything that you want to do or say. It's because you feel very positive and you want to help. And when people are touched by your willingness to help and go that extra mile. I mean, I've seen you in a room. I've seen you work a room and get people that, looked a little stone faced at first, kind of melt. I've watched you do it. It's a wonderful gift that you have. I'm glad you're for good, not evil. But, it's a wonderful thing that you're able to do that. And that ability is something you can't bottle. It's something that has to come out of the person. And even the most jaded person knows that if they hear from you, they know, okay, I got to give it up because she is coming to me with something that's very serious. You talked, for example, about Katrina. You talked about Haiti. These are two missions that are very, very close to your heart, and I know they are ongoing because the situation has not ended. They're not resolved.
No, it hasn't ended, and thank you very much. I mean, you sound just like a friend of mine that I have. Her name is Heather Baines. I have a large network of friends and wonderful people that I actually hang around with. Some of them drive me crazy, but you sound just like her. I don't know where I actually got the skills to be a people person, because I'm not a morning person. You can't get me up before 8, 9 o'clock. I get to work from 11 o'clock, 11 to 7. I'm not a morning person. And as a kid, I wasn't. I was antisocial, but you sound just like that because and I still am looking for it myself because I don't believe it all the time, but it seems that people always seem to put me in the position where I need to deal with the most difficult person. Because I go to a lot of different events, society events, university club. I could go to Bed-Stuy and hang out in the club, and then after that I'll be up in on Park or Madison Avenue. And everyone who actually meet me do put me in the position where they want to sit me next to the most difficult person, and I do outrageous things to get people to laugh. But, it's so sweet for you to notice, because I don't remember you ever seeing me do that. Because I don't know when I did that, because it seems like everybody keeps telling me the same thing. And they talk about how my smile, when I come in, I have this big smile and I get everybody laughing and I'm the life of the
every
party.
Time.
I don't see that.
I know you don't. And it's just because it's just like breathing for you. It's just something that comes natural. And that's what I mean by genuine, because at this point in our lives, we can almost always tell when someone's being phony, not always, but you are very genuine. And you see, and part of the reason that people know it is because you're consistent. There is a consistency with you. You say, you know what? She's not kidding. She needs this, this, and this. Let's try to get this for her. Let's try to do this. Let's give it our best effort. We may not bring it up to Marie's standards completely, but at least we have to make a concerted effort to try to, and if we don't do it, then we try to find a way to do it, and if someone else can help us, then we try to do it. And it's a wonderful gift that you have, that ability to make people feel comfortable as if they've known you forever when they've just met you, and then what you want them to do. And people go away. I'm telling you, people don't go away feeling, oh, she used me. They go away feeling, I did something good. I probably needed to do something good. I haven't done anything good in a while. And so you make people, so that's why it doesn't turn people off. Trust me. What it does is, people know that if they engage with you, they'll be involved in something positive. Let me just say, you are listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm Diane Murray Ward, and I have my wonderful guest, Marie Deleuze. Marie, what are your next steps?
Well, my next steps is, first I have to thank you because you're one of my friends where I could go to and ask for something. and you come to my aid at all time. Whenever I need help from you, you
anytime.
Always come to my aid. So you want the street soldiers too, because you've been doing it for a very long time. And I also want to thank you for saying that that people trust me. I mean, I think to be quite honest with you, I think one of the reasons why people trust me is because I ask for nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get a spectacle. I mean, I get a strange look when I'm like, okay, what do you want? Or if I'm helping a not-for-profit, because what I normally do right now, what I've been doing right now is actually helping small not-for-profit. Because at this time, I'm glad I'm calling this week. I'm helping the James E. Davis Stop the Violence Foundation. There is a peace walk this Saturday at there's a breakfast that starts at 8 a.m. at Bed-Stuy Appleby on Fulton and Ocean. Everyone is going to come. They're going to have a free breakfast. This is being paid by the foundation. And after that, everyone is actually going to walk a mile from the Applebee's on Fulton and Ocean to Brooklyn and Eastern Parkway to the James E. Davis Museum, Multicultural Museum. And I'm not sure if everybody remember, but James E. Davis is a councilman who unfortunately was slain in City Hall.
That's right.
In 2003. And so I'm working with his brother right now to actually organize, not organize, because he's pretty organized, just to, you know, to volunteer my tail to make the peace walk, to help him complete the peace walk, you know, because I can't say make it successful, because he's been doing it for 18 years, you know what I'm saying? So right now what I do is I help a lot of little not-for-profit organizations as far as completing an event. Last year I helped the James Brown Family Foundation with their turkey giveaway last year. Trying to do something with Safe Horizon. And then I even get calls where I'm just helping a not-for-profit discuss the business proposal, the grant proposal. This is what I do on the side. And everyone always asks me, what do you want? You know, Maria, mm-hmm. you know, you could get a commission, or I'll give you something. I say, I can't get a commission, it's a conflict of interest. No, I'll give you something on the side. No, I don't want anything on the side. Then what do you want? I want nothing.
This is what
I enjoy doing for my life. I love to help people. That's it. So I think after a while, when you start getting that reputation, and successful too, because, I mean, knock on the wood, I've actually been successful in completing a lot of projects successfully.
Right.
When you get that reputation and you start hearing, then people will be like, okay, you know, she is real. You know, she is doing this for the community, and she's not trying to get anything out of it. So I'm like, I mean, I've done all these various projects for like about 5-6 years now. So now
mm-hmm.
I'm honing on these skills to actually do bigger projects. So I've been doing all these little street projects. Right now I want to do bigger projects. Like, I am now very interested in building a school in Haiti. I have this organization that I've been going back and forth to with Haiti, the Haitian American Visionary Association. I'm very close with that group, with Capender and Nicole Labarde, and Labarde. They're going to kill me, I mispronounced the name. And they are wonderful, wonderful people. And I've traveled, we've gone back and forth. We helped set up medical location, and we provided medical services, we provided food, we provided clothes, materials. Go on my Facebook, you see everything we've done. And we've selected an area called Ansabo in Haiti. If you go to, you have to go on my Facebook and look at the pictures. There isn't a bridge to get to that area. You have to actually cross a river. I mean, if on high tide, the water almost, I mean, it's over the window. You know, the driver's side window?
Yeah.
And we go through the river to actually go to this location, because they are living back in the ages. If you go to Africa and you see back in the ages, that's where they're living. I mean, they have a lot of the kids are running around naked, okay?
Right.
They only have generators. They don't have no TV. They don't have radios. A lot of them live in huts. So we found this community that we fell in love with. I'm actually sponsoring two young children now. I paid for them to go to school for a year, you know.
Nice.
So right now we decided that group, and, you know, and I'm honored that they included me as their volunteer partner. We're working very hard to raise money to build a school in Ansabo. We've already raised
a few thousand dollars already. And let me just mention, as you've told me, it's not that expensive to sponsor a child.
Nope. It's $60.
That's right.
$60 a year.
And I think people need to know that. Yep. When you think of $60 is, you know, I mean, are you kidding? And that's for an entire year.
Yes, yeah, for entire year for one kid.
An entire year for one child.
Yes.
I think that, you know, when I was going to ask you how could you encourage others to do what you do, but I think it just, you start off by just volunteering, not looking for anything else other than if you have that passion and that interest in a particular area, because there's a lot of different places that are looking for volunteers that would appreciate the free help. And I think you sort of steamrolled. You went from one thing to the next, but you started by saying, I'm interested in. And now that you've built a foundation of doing these smaller projects, all significant, small doesn't mean insignificant, but just smaller projects, you're ready to go on to the bigger issues that you're interested in. You said interest in. Is that where people start?
I mean, I think where people start is that they definitely start as what their interest, whether it's domestic violence, whether mm-hmm. it's the hungry, whether it's breast cancer. You just pick something that you're interested in, and you have to have the need and the desire to help someone else. You know what I mean? You have to be able to want to help someone else. And it starts with an interest. With me, it started before interest. It started the interest
right.
of me not being scared anymore, you know,
right.
of wanting to, you know, become bigger and better, not that scared little girl. So it started there. And then it evolved to me being interested in helping other people who in my mind I feel is victimized, you know.
Right.
And then it helped to that. I mean, one of my most proudest moments is when last year, July 17, I'm standing on Columbus and 60th, and this guy and his wife, they get hit by a cab. And
okay.
his head is completely busted. Excuse me, you know, but his head
mm-hmm.
was completely busted. And it turned around, I provided first aid to him, and I had to actually wrap three towels because someone who was there was coming out of a gym, gave me three towels, wrapping around his head to stop his head because he was bleeding so much. So I was there, you know, so my interest
mm-hmm.
at that time is that I saw someone get hit by a car. Bam,
right.
I have first aid skill. Bam, let me help him.
Exactly.
And I helped him, and he was able to walk at his wedding 30 days later because he was getting married.
Right.
He just left the church. So you have to have an interest. You have to first have a desire to want to help people. And then if you want to help people, then you have to figure out what your desire is. And if that desire is to help because of breast cancer, because of domestic violence and stuff, you do whatever you're interested in, because there are multiple projects that you could be involved in.
Venues, right, exactly,
exactly,
exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so interesting. When you started, you talked about your sister, you had to defend your sister. And as much as you were going through, it wasn't about defending yourself. It was about defending your sister, because
yes.
you did not want her to be victimized.
Yes.
Even though you weren't treated any better, you were not going to stand by and let her get hurt. And I think that right away, that just giving spirit, that wellspring just, you know, it's a fountain in you. It's just something that you
Thank
just, you know,
you.
It's unquenchable. And that's where I guess your heart is just so big that you don't think twice about it. I mean, some people would have walked away. That gentleman that you talked about that got hit by the cab?
I know my family had a
away.
Fit.
Some people would have said, "Oh, somebody else will help them." Somebody that's happened to me many a time when I'll see something, and I'll be the one going over there, and all these other people are there,
just
but they're all
around.
Looking at me like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like,
yes.
"Okay, I'm the one dialing 911. I'm the one." But if they're looking at me, I'm like, "What's wrong with you people?" And
exactly.
and it's sad. It's sad, but there's. Somebody, a Marie or somebody, some other street soldier that would be there, I know, God forbid anything happened to me, that I know someone would come forward. And you would think that it would be more common. And maybe it is, I just don't know it, but I do know you. And that's how
Thank
I
you.
Know that people like you exist and that you're able to come forward when an emergency occurs. Because some people would have turned the other way. Some people obviously did.
I mean, some people, I mean, I like to say I wasn't the only one. I guess I was the first one on the scene. You know what I'm saying? That's how I like to see it. A lot of people, I mean, my family members and stuff and the people who heard about the incident, they were, you know, they were devastated because you're not, first of all, I have the first aid training, so I know exactly what I was doing. But, of course, I didn't have the first aid material. I didn't have gloves on. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
I didn't have gloves
on.
I didn't have time to have gloves on. This man was bleeding all over the place. I had to stop the flow of blood. So
and you
my,
see, that's
my
point.
You see,
didn't
my,
stop
and some people are afraid of that. Yeah. Huh?
Right, and that's the point. You didn't stop and think of yourself. You thought of the other person.
Yes.
And that's what makes you special and unique because some people would have second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth guessed for whatever reason, and you just went ahead and leapt in. In spite of all of these things, do you have any hobbies? Do you have anything that you do away from this that takes you from this, that gives you a little bit of a rest?
Well, I love to read. I mean, the funny thing is that I say my volunteer work is my rest because, you know, I work for the city. So that's why I say, so that's why everybody said that my real job is my volunteer work. My volunteer work is my rest. It's my way of releasing whatever stress and tension I have with my everyday life. But, you know, when I get really, really exhausted, when I've had taken myself to the max, I've actually loved to just sit down and watch some TV, catch up on my reality shows. Love reality shows. And I love to read. Love to read.
You don't have enough reality that you make yourself. You need to look at a reality show.
I love reality
funny.
Shows. So that's what I want. So no, that's what I normally do. Read a book. I'm constantly reading, and I'm constantly if I get really tired, I've been going like 5 days a week. And sometimes I go 5 to 6 days a week. I go from one event to the next. I help one person to the next. I get to the point when I'm exhausted. So I take a time and I just say, okay, today is the day where I'm just going to lay down, watch TV, just lay in bed, no one bothered me, or I'll just read a book. So those are the two ways that I have actually relaxed and stuff. But yeah, I think my extracurriculum would be my volunteer work. I think so.
Yeah, because you know I find that people you need sometimes a break from whatever you do 6 days a week, which is really almost 7 days a week for you because things come up all the time. But so I'm glad to hear that you have something else, the reality shows, the reading, whatever, because it's important to still have that balance for yourself. Otherwise, you're not going to be very effective.
I know, everyone keeps
things.
Saying that. Everyone keeps saying that I need to not overwhelm myself and I need to stop, taking more than I could chew, you know, so... Everyone do say that, so I do try.
I don't find that possible with you. you just keep going. You just keep going, and that's a benefit to everybody else. There's so many nameless people that don't even know that you're behind the scenes doing all these wonderful projects, and that I'm so grateful, and so is the rest of the world, that you have such varied interests, and you act on it, though. You see, that's the difference. You act on it. Some people just talk about an interest, but you act on the interest, and that's what's really a blessing, and that's why I'm so happy that you've been able to talk with us on Faceted Gems, because I'm hoping that you will also inspire other people. I know you will, and get their interest piqued. So thank you again, Marie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being on, and I do appreciate you, and I know there are a lot of other people that do as well. And I just want to thank you again for sharing some time with us out of your busy, 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 busy schedule. I do appreciate that.
Well, I'm
thank
honored
you.
That you were actually to come on. Thank you.
Everyone, you are listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm Diane Murray Ward. My guest this evening was Miss Marie Duluth. We're closing with Brian Snow. Thank you, everyone. Love everyone, empower, assist when you can, dream and believe in the positive energy within. Thank you.